Matthew chapter 5, as we continue in the series on the fruit of the Spirit. This will be part 2 of the fruit meekness. Meekness. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. He said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide in this time, in our important time in your word. Lord, please teach us and help us to understand and help us to walk in meekness as you desire us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. We saw last week that meekness is a virtue, it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's something that God wants to produce in our life as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are depending upon the Holy Spirit produces meekness in our lives. We saw how essential meekness is, and we're going to look a little further, but you'll recall the illustration, and does anybody remember what that illustration was last Sunday morning? Well, it was an engine from a vehicle, and an important thing that helps an engine to run and to run smoothly is the oil. The oil lubricates that engine so that the parts don't fight each other and melt down. An engine won't run very long without oil, only a few minutes, and it will seize up and be ruined. And the same is also true in the Christian life, that we won't run very long without the lubrication of meekness. The Holy Spirit will give us this important grace. And so we have here an engine cut open so that we can see the inside, so that we can see the piston here, and this goes up and down, and that's how you have the power that a vehicle needs in order to drive. And that's a 310 horsepower engine right there. But an essential element to that engine running properly is the lubrication, the oil. And meekness is that oil in the Christian's life. I want you to notice the antonyms just to remind you what's the opposite of meekness in the dictionary. The dictionary said arrogance. The opposite of meekness, arrogance, conceit, egotistical, haughty, presumptuous, pretentious, self-assertive. And so we see the opposite of being meek is to be forceful, to be self-assertive, to be haughty, presumptuous, arrogant. And those things are antonyms to meekness. And they will cause strife, right? They will cause friction to increase instead of to mitigate friction and diffuse it. We saw that some synonyms to meekness are humility. Humility, lowliness, modesty, patience, grace, or being gracious. And so we see that meekness is praised by the Lord. It's praised by the Lord. In our society, in our world today, meekness is not praised. What is encouraged in our world today is, you know, stand up for yourself. You know, you stand for your rights and all that. But you know what? That's not meekness. That causes strife. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't stand for what's right. And there's a place and a time and a way that is right to stand. And stand we must do. But we must stand in meekness. You see, meekness is not weakness. It's not just passivity. Oh, whatever, you know. No, it is how we stand. It is how we conduct ourselves. It is a gracious way of doing right. Pride is an ugly way of doing wrong. And so we must recognize that meekness is praised by the Lord. Blessed are the meek, Jesus says, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. What an interesting statement Jesus said. Jesus, or the Word of God, also says that the meek shall increase their joy. The meek shall increase their joy in Jeremiah 29, verse 19. Jesus himself modeled meekness, as we saw. He said in Matthew 11, I am meek. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. You see, he's gentle. He's gentle. He's gracious. He's kind. He's meek. And so we can be meek and still stand for truth. We can be meek and still do what's right. We saw that meekness is produced by the Holy Spirit. So not only is meekness praised by the Lord, but it's produced by the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a fruit of the Spirit. And so the way to have genuine meekness is to abide in the vine, to really walk with the Lord so that he can produce this quality, this fruit in our life. Meekness is pertinent to the success of the Christian. It is pertinent to the success of the Christian. We saw last week in James chapter 1 the importance of having meekness so that we are teachable. A person who is not meek is a person who is not teachable. So meekness, meek people are teachable. They're teachable. Meekness is required for us to be a faithful servant of the Lord. The Bible says, in meekness, the servant of the Lord in meekness must instruct those that oppose themselves. So are we to minister the word of God? Well, in meekness, instructing. So we need meekness to be taught. A meek person is a teachable person. They're willing to listen. They're willing to give their attention. A proud person, you can't teach. They're like, oh, I know that. You know, oh yeah, I've heard that. You know, they immediately discount it. A meek person is receptive to consider it, to think through it, to do study. And a meek is a teachable person. We see that meekness is required for us to instruct others. God's work needs to be carried out in meekness, not as a bully, not in pride, but in gentleness, in meekness, in the important lubrication that diffuses unnecessary friction. Meekness is essential for dealing with people. I want you to go to the book of Numbers in chapter 12. All right, so let's begin at verse 1. Numbers 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, who had God put in the place of leadership? Moses, particularly. Miriam and Aaron were assistants. But Moses was the one put in leadership here. And these are his siblings. Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister. And so Miriam and Aaron, the Bible says, verse 1, spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So what we have here is we have people who were under authority, under the authority of Moses and under authority of God. They were speaking against the authority. And they were saying, this Moses guy, I mean, he thinks he's the only one that God talks to, right? And they said, hasn't God talked to us? We don't need to follow Moses. We can, you know, we know what to do. And they spoke against Moses. And you know what the Bible says? God heard it. God heard it. And so, what happens? Let's notice verse 3. The Bible gives us some important information at this time where, can we say, friction is building. What we've just read in the Word of God is a time where you have the great potential for friction. We have Moses as a leader, and we have Miriam and Aaron, and they're speaking against Moses. They're saying, who is Moses? Who does he think he is? I mean, and so there's the potential for friction. Right here in the internal combustion engine, we have the potential, well, serious potential, for friction. The fact of the matter is, friction is present. And without lubricant, the friction will bring great destruction. But with the lubricant present, it diffuses the friction and brings about productivity. All right? And in our relationships and in dealing with people, we need this. And notice verse 3, Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek. He was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Wow. That is amazing. A very, very meek man. That doesn't mean he was perfect. That doesn't mean he ever, that doesn't mean he never got angry, because we do have that record as well. But he was the meekest man on the earth, God says. Verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So what do we see? We have Aaron and Moses speaking foolish words against Moses, who God had put in charge, who God had put in the place of leadership. And let me ask you, was God pleased with Aaron and Miriam speaking against the authority?
No.
No, God wasn't. And God came and God said, why do you not fear to speak against my servant who is faithful in all mine house? Now, I want you to see something here. The Bible tells us in this whole scenario that Moses was very meek. And let me ask you, what happened when Moses was assaulted with words? What happened? Does the Bible say that Moses got angry and responded and hit his brother? No, it doesn't. It says he was meek. And it says God responded. God stepped in. You see, a meek person, an aspect of meekness is not just gentleness and strength under control. An aspect of the definition and the true definition of meekness is a dependence upon God, right? Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was hit, he didn't hit back. But the Bible says, but he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. The aspect of trust in God is critical in the virtue of meekness. There is a dependence upon God. Something wrong happens to you, an injustice. When you respond with meekness, you are able to respond with gentleness because you're trusting. The Bible says that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. The Bible says, doesn't say anything about Moses responding. He depended on God, and God responded. And God said, "What do you think you're doing speaking against my servant who is faithful in all mine house?" And so God stepped up and God defended him. And there's certainly more to the story there, but we want to notice that meekness is essential for dealing patiently with people, and the fact that meekness is a trust in God, resting the situation in God's hands to handle. And that's why friction can be diffused, because you get two people lock heads and you have rah. But when you get one person who locks heads with someone who's got a meek spirit, it's diffused, because it takes two to fight. But when one refuses to fight, and when one is rather trusting God, and when one is responding with gentleness, it diffuses the friction, just like the lubrication of the internal combustion engine. Let's notice another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Ah. You know what? The Apostle Paul is having to deal with some tough things. He's writing a letter and he's dealing with some difficult situations in the church at Corinth. And so he says, "I, Paul, myself, I'm beseeching you, I'm admonishing you, I'm encouraging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So he's coming in that kind of a spirit. He's firm, but he's meek. He's speaking truth, but he's gentle. "In the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." So notice that he's still standing. He's still confronting issues. He's still dealing with problems, but he's dealing with them meekly and gently, yet boldly. And he says in verse 2, he says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." And so he says, I'd like to deal with this so that when we come, I can have a nice visit and we don't have to deal with some of these difficult things. And let's skip forward a little bit in the chapter here to verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Notice now verse 8. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification." Notice that. I mean, there's lots in this passage, but he says, though we could boast, we're not boasting, but "I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for," what purpose? "For edification, not for your destruction. I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. All right. So, in dealing with a difficult situation here, the Apostle Paul is handling it in meekness. And we want to understand that his authority was being challenged by the Corinthians. They didn't always accept his authority. They didn't always listen up to the Apostle Paul as they should have. In fact, they were sometimes very easily taken in by false teachers. False teachers who spoke with a smooth tongue often deceived the Corinthians. And Paul is concerned for them, and he genuinely loves them. And so in meekness, he comes. And so we see the importance of bringing people to the obedience of Christ in meekness, handling difficult situations with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is seeking to do while he stands firmly for truth. All right, let's notice now Titus chapter 3. Notice verse 1. We see that this is a quality, the quality of meekness is something God really wants us to have. Chapter 3 of Titus, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. That means to be obedient to authority. To obey magistrates. To be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. God wants us to be meek unto all men. Speak evil of no man, not a brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We used to be foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But that's not the way we live now, because we're saved. We're a Christian. We're a follower of Christ. We don't devour one another. A Christian is not supposed to bite one another and hit one another and speak mean to one another. No, a Christian is supposed to be gentle, kind, loving, patient, which all of this embodies what it means to be meek. And so we see the importance. The Bible says, I'll just share these verses. This is Colossians 3, verse 12. The Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Put on meekness, God says, as the children of God. Put on meekness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after meekness, O man of God. Follow after meekness. And so when we face ridicule, God wants us to respond with meekness. That's what Moses did, and it pleased God. That's how the Apostle Paul handled difficult situations that he needed to confront in Corinth. He handled it in meekness. And that's how we must handle it. With God's help, we can be meek. So when we're ridiculed, when there's injustice, when there are trials to endure, and so we see clearly the importance of meekness. Just like the internal combustion engine needs that lubrication of oil, we need the lubrication of meekness in our lives, in our relationships, in our service for Christ, in the body of Christ. Please go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, now verse 1. I therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, With all lowliness, verse 2, with all lowliness, how are we to walk worthy? Well, with lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Meekness is a critical part of this. Unity rather than friction. Pleasing God rather than pleasing self. Notice also Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." You see, in the body of Christ, interacting with one another, serving the Lord together, we must have that lubrication. Otherwise, friction will bring a meltdown. It will bring destruction. The engine of the church will be destroyed if there is not meekness lubricating the moving parts. All right? And so, very practical, very important. And so, dealing with someone who's fallen, someone who's been overtaken with a fault, the Bible says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Please go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In our marriages, meekness is critical. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's talking here particularly about some of the wonderful qualities God wants a wife to have. And 1 Peter chapter 3, notice verse 1, "Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," that would be a difficult situation. Someone is being disobedient. In this case, a husband is the illustration. The husband is not obeying the word of God. How is that wife supposed to handle that challenging situation? Well, many other things like reverence and obedience here are talked about. But I want you to go to verse 4. The Bible talks about the beauty of this wife, this woman. Her beauty should be, verse 4, "the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." God says a meek and quiet spirit is beautiful. And so in handling a difficult situation, in living in a difficult marriage, God says meekness is key. It's critical, and it pleases God. I want you to notice verse 13 of this same chapter, 1 Peter 3, verse 13. God even talks about the need for meekness in our witness to the lost world. Verse 13, it says, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So, our witness. You know, sometimes when we tell others about Christ, they don't want to hear it. Sometimes people will be rude. Sometimes people will be unkind. You know what? God says we need to witness with meekness. Our witness. We need to respond with meekness to people. If they hurt us, we should be ready to respond, to give them the hope of Christ with meekness and fear. Reverence. Reverence for God and respect for people. And so meekness. We see that meekness is by no means passive. It's not just a ho-hum, you know, do whatever attitude. Meekness is essential for really getting into the internal friction-prone areas of life and bringing about a powerful, edifying result. Because of the lubrication in the internal combustion engine, that engine can produce an enormous amount of power to accomplish good things. But without that lubrication, though all the other components are in place, the engine will destruct itself. Its parts pitted against each other will bring a disastrous result. But with the lubrication, the friction is diffused and edification is brought about. And so meekness is an active yielding to the Lord and a trust in the Lord that shows itself in a patient and gentle handling of even the most difficult of situations and injustices. When we respond with meekness, frustration is diffused, or I should say friction. Could be frustration as well. Frustration is diffused, patience is embraced. If we handle life with meekness, anger is averted and love is extended. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit that is essential for the Christian's life. In our witness, in our marriage, in our church, in our home, in our community, the reality of needing meekness cannot be underestimated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you want to provide as we trust you, as we depend on you. And Lord, we sure do need this fruit, as well as all of the other fruit that you desire to be in our life. Help us to recognize you are the source. You are the fountain, the sap of this fruit. And I pray that you would just help us to abide in the vine, that we might have this fruit in our life and share it with a needy world and with those closest to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.